A warm welcome to you again to this third seminar of this course, Reputation Strategy and Crisis Communication is what we talk about today. So we move more in the direction of crisis than last time, and we move more in the direction of strategy making. What we will do today is, it's here, but actually it's better on the next one. We'll talk about the questionnaire. You'll see one other example and give and get suggestions of one other team, which is why I asked you to bring a print or find some other clever way to facilitate that. Crisis communication and reputation. So you will gain insights in basics of crisis communication and reputation strategies. And you will start to ponder on your readiness to start planning your interviews, which is the next step of your investigations and the assignment. So we're already at the beginning, starting with this major work, because I think it is most useful for you to now have available your questionnaire. And to also look at an example of another group and to exchange your views. Well, to make this more practical in such a large room, the idea was that every single one of you had it with you. So every single one of you can now find in your neighborhood somebody who is not from your same team. And maybe that means that you have to resit a bit, that's fine. So we are now taking you apart from your team and meet with somebody of another team and sit together and take the time to read it at the same time of each other. And I will remind you of this. Go ahead. So to explain, some people had questions, so I will explain to all of you. The first thing you do is see if the general format fits as it is put here. So this was a reminder. First look at the general format. If the general format isn't there, maybe there are reasons for it. But first you read and you... I think you can make notes also on that piece of paper because it's only helpful for the other group. And then first you start, of course, to talk about one, and then you go to the other and you ask, why did you do it like this or did you think of that? But first, see if the general model is recognizable. Thank you. have an idea. Hello. Let's resume this in plenary mode. So while walking around, I actually was I was interested in every single group that was working, but that's not possible now, and I think you had very good discussions. But I would like to have some plenary discussion about this too, also for people who are at home and look at the recordings and have no opportunity to get comments in that way today. Maybe they can organize something. There's two individuals, for example, that work at a distance, and they can maybe use email and involve each other. So something creative. So I think it is most practical if I first look simply at the first part of the questionnaire, which had this one open question: what do you think of when I mention the name or something similar? Already, there were groups having, for example, very detailed open questions that went a bit further. But let's simply take a look if we could get some examples. Jenny, could you maybe from that part of the hall get some examples for that opening question? And could you translate it? Because many were working in Finnish, actually, which is good because you will need that in many cases. But can you now translate it into English? So what kind of first question do you have? And maybe that half of the room can start.
Any examples on this side?
Well, they all have an example. So.
Okay, so let's go to this group. Just
your own questionnaire.
We had what reaction does Apple awake you, or like what kind of reactions does the company name Apple bring?
Yeah, and of course it was Finnish, so it sounded a bit different. And the nice thing about that is that you didn't give anything away yet, but that you used the company name and that you wanted to know what the thoughts or the reaction about that name already was. So that's nice that we don't give away any ideas as a researcher yet, but that we find out if they mention the crisis or whatever you were focused at. Another example, maybe?
Okay, let's go here on the back.
We had the Volkswagen diesel scandal as our subject, and our first question is, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when I mention the German car company Volkswagen?
Which German car?
Volkswagen.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, so we will then find out if they immediately start to talk about the crisis that Volkswagen had and has had now for, what is it, 1.5 years or maybe so, yeah, about. Or that they simply start to talk about nicely qualitative cars or whatever it evokes. How will you then write down that? Because if you're doing oral interview, that person might just say a few words, or that person might start to give you some little storylines, and you are still energetic at the beginning, so you're probably already asking, and why, and how, and so you get a whole answer. So how do you picture that? So maybe you have brought something that is a fixed thing where you can write on. Don't borrow this. It might be missed. But this is nicely fixed. You can write about it. So how are you going to report that? So if it could be a lot. So how do you see that? Well, maybe you can tell it for Volkswagen.
Well, we'll probably focus on the main points, what come up from the answer. We haven't really decided yet, but probably the main storyline.
Well, points I like, because points, in my view, are bullets. So you can make a form where you write the answers on, your questionnaire form, that, of course, is not for the others to look over your shoulder. But there you can fill in bullet points. And then later, when you have interviewed maybe 8 people about it, and then you have 8 bullet lists.
And you will start to think, how can I add that up? Because maybe there were three people saying about the same thing. And then we get that one bullet point, maybe rephrased in your own words. Especially if it was a Finnish questionnaire, you rephrase it in English. And then you put three times for that. So when you report it from many times to few times mentioned. And it will still be bullets. So I think it's a good idea to think about points, what they say, and different aspects in that sense, or that they just go on about the same thing, but then you just summarize it very quickly. And you can understand that if you do anything qualitative like this, you might forget what has happened. So you'd have to do that pretty soon. So maybe after each questionnaire, after each talk that you have, you will already kind of organize your notes, or at least later that same day. Actually, it's the same when I, as a consultant, drive up to a company. That same day, I will make my notes, and because otherwise the deeper thoughts are not yet there. You had a question. Oh, sorry, Jenny, here's down below.
That's fine.
Yeah, just wait.
For quantitative questions, it would be good to use summarize them in Excel by using charts. So it would be good. You can see the trend, even though, I mean, there are not a lot of questions, but you can still see the trend by making a bar diagram or a pie chart, maybe.
Yeah, that would be nice. Maybe that is not so visible in the template, but you can add such ideas to the template. And, of course, as a picture, you can upload it in that template. And that will look great. Yeah, bars are a good idea. Bar graphic with what is mainly mentioned. And maybe you have something like a top five there of things that are mentioned. And you don't need maybe to mention every little detail that was just mentioned once. Yeah? Of course, you can say diverse, so and so many times mentioned. But just one per person. Yeah? Thank you. So then we go to the skill questions with the opposites. And can somebody give an example of that? Maybe down below where you are now?
Okay, so we have the company called Finlayson. And for example, for the skill questions, we have that is it high quality or low quality? And asking people how to rate it, and then also, are they old-fashioned or are they trendy? And as a company, is it irresponsible or responsible?
Enough examples, thank you. Yeah, so that means that they are not actually really questions, as some of you were doing, but these are just two alternatives. There is no question that leads to them, or you just have something that is true for the whole set of questions. So what is true? What do you see true for this company? And then we get these alternatives. So there is no real question for each scale. It are just scales. It's a set of scales with two alternatives, just as you so perfectly gave the example for Finlayson. Then you can still think, what do I put on the left and what do I put on the right? Well, there's a lot of knowledge about that in social sciences, that they often turn the scales. So the good is not always the left and the right is not always, and there are sometimes check questions. I think that is actually, in this case, not needed. And if you do the interviews as street interviews, somewhere in a public place, it is already quite confusing for the respondent. So I'm thinking of a questionnaire as a means of communication with people to find out their perceptions. So I want to make the questionnaire easy for them. So in that case, it is okay, but don't you do that in any investigation, that you put the positives on the same side and the negatives on the same side, on the other side, and that you don't use, let's say, check questions where you ask exactly the same in different phrasing. So that's not customary for semantic differentials, these snake questions that have this format of two alternatives. Were there any people that had problems with this category, a set of scale questions that actually might be all part of one question because there is just one intro for them? Can you tell me what you find typical for this company? And then you get five alternatives. So it's more like question two with A, B, C, D. Yeah? Or maybe you don't even need to say A, B, C, D. Yeah? Any questions about that further? So how are you going to report that? Maybe that question can be answered maybe a bit higher, yeah, third line. Question was, how are you going to report the set B?
Oh, the set. Okay. So we have our company is United Airlines, and the set B, we have a low-cost airline versus high-price airlines, untrusted airlines, trusted airlines.
That's fine. I just want to know how it will look like when you report it. So I'm not asking what you put there, but how are you going to report it? How does it look in the report?
So basically, we will see based on different demographics, whether it's like your gender or how often do you use airlines normally, then how these different type of people also then scale it as well. So someone who uses airlines or airplanes more than 5 times a year, then whether they see United Airlines more like irresponsible or responsible. So we kind of see
So we get a snake diagram with two lines, but then you're thinking of doing it again for some other characteristic because you're talking about how often they fly, but you were also using another characteristic.
Yes. So a gender, for example.
Yeah. I do not recommend you to do two. Well, of course, if you are very active, you can do that. And then you will multiply the slide and we will get two snakes. One where you split it up this way and the next where you split it up the other way. But one way is actually enough. So and in the snake, we get two lines. So we don't get an average of the two as a third line. That is not needed. It doesn't add anything. It doesn't make it easier to read. So either those that fly often is in your case, and those that do not fly often, hardly ever fly. Yeah, and we will see if they have a different evaluation, a different perception of that organization. That will be interesting to see. Great. Five statements with a scale we then go to. So there we have five different statements, not questions, actually, in that sense that they do not have a question mark. So in that sense, we have a statement because we are using what is normally used, forms, and we're not trying to improvise too much. Of course, there are always clever things you can do, but let's go a little bit for safe here. So a statement is a question, and there you only have next to the scale to a small degree and to a large degree people agreeing, yeah? There was a question a moment ago, what do we do when somebody really doesn't know? So the statement is probably more about the crisis than the earlier question. So this general question, A, is really general. So if somebody heard about the organization or the topic, some people have a bit different topic, okay? So it's about the topic. And if they don't know about the topic, you have another problem. Then they just have no impressions about it. It's not so likely that you will not get something, because we know from psychology that very often people think they know a lot, even though they might not know so much. So they might start working as if they know a lot, and then you get an answer still. And it would still mean something for the company if those people that actually don't know so much, but they still have views and opinions usually. So you could get something. So, but the first question, and also B, so is about the organization as such. And there could already be responsible, irresponsible, as you gave as an example. So it might already relate to your case, your crisis case. Yeah. But then in C, it's very clearly about this crisis. And some people then said, what if they don't know my organization? What if they don't know that crisis? What if they know what United Airlines is? And maybe they don't know that a passenger was dragged outside the airplane because that seat was necessary for somebody else or even for own personnel. And you had a solution for that. So could you give that solution to the others? People that know what United Airlines is, it's a bit opposite than you spoke about it a moment ago, but they may not know, so what will you introduce, say, C, with a story? Or?
Well, we basically then had the open-ended questions to kind of guide them to what has happened. So basically with the scale questions, then we have the open-ended questions to highlight that, well, we have a question. Are you familiar with the United Airlines event that occurred in April 2017 where a passenger was removed from a plane? And what were your thoughts? So we kind of then point out that this is the thing that we want you to scale those.
To make it comparable, I would advise to not put it as a question, but that simply use a story and tell the story. And then after that story, tell, did you know about this? Yeah? So the story is the same for everybody, but they can answer yes or no if they knew about it. And then, of course, you are with the problem. Does that then mean that they cannot answer any of the following? Or are some of the following still possible to answer also for those that may not know that? Okay. Thank you very much. Is there another example, maybe, of an introduction that may be needed before you can ask the questions C? It could also be that you would like not to give any introduction, but that you would like to try it out. But then soon after the first interviews, you know if it's necessary. And I'd rather have the same for all your interviews than that you change your ways during, so you can do a test. But after that, do the same for every interview, because otherwise the comparison is not fair. Yeah.
We have a question there that, do you agree with the following statements? And we have Stura Enso uses child labor. And we were thinking, should we kind of tell a story about this? Because they have actually used, but it could be also interesting to see if people actually think that could Stora Enso use child labor. So we don't know exactly, should we present a article, a newspaper article or not, or is it more interesting to see what people think about it? Is it possible, or I don't know.
Well, it is possible to ask a question to everybody that opens it up and asks them if they know about, or how would you like to do that then? So maybe one general question to find out if they know about child labor, and then you go to your statements.
It's one of our statements that Stora Enso uses child labor. So should we just keep it there and not explain any story about it?
Well, sometimes it is more logical actually to give them an introduction or to add a question that you will ask everybody. So I think some leading question might not be, so it's a kind of in-between, unclear way to ask. Yeah.
Yes, but then they, of course, answer it. Yes, we tell that they will.
I'm just wondering if we tell ahead that they have been using child
but then
labor,
for your
then
first,
the answer is yes.
But then for your first question, your open question, you already know if they spontaneously mentioned it. And you will also know by your alternatives in the B section if they score high on irresponsible, for example. And you can think about which alternatives them, but they can choose. Yeah? So that you should actually be able to find out by A and B together already. But you have to do some quick thinking when you continue to see. But at that moment, you can give an information card or a little story. Yeah, I would like it to be rather strict there and not something in the middle. But of course, you can think about it and you can test it. And then you can do it for all your interviews in the way that seems best at that moment. Because I can't predict everything.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
The thing is that what do you want to get from the C-section there? Because if we want to see the real, I mean, what the, maybe the customers, the person who has had an experience with the company, like in our case that we had the Ferrero Rocher, if I offer them a chocolate or they have heard or they've had experience with them, they'll have an idea of what is going on or what they've heard about it. It will come out. But if we, in the C-section, we tell them about the story that, you know, have you seen that video going around, maybe we'll have a psychological pressure on them and we guide them into another direction rather than getting the real feedback of their own experience with the company.
Who is in your group? Also your neighbors? Yeah?
Yeah.
Could you explain, because I don't think in the room many people are like, huh, what is this about? I hear chocolate, I hear...
The company we have chosen is Ferrero Rocher, and the latest scandal is that...
Ferrero Rocher?
Yeah, Rocher. There, it's a chocolate, I mean, the main product is chocolates, and in the social media has been circulated many videos about people finding live worms in the chocolates, and this has been causing a lot of trouble.
Life forms in the chocolate.
Worms.
Now we're wondering, worms, okay, yeah, yeah.
And
it were not toes and fingers, luckily.
No, worms.
Yeah.
But if we tell them about the scandal
yeah.
in this section, will that actually have a impact in the answers?
Yes, and that is why you only do that after A and B. So in A and B, you do not lead them in any way. But at the moment that you want their opinion about the scandal, you'd better make sure that they don't know it, that you have said a little bit about it. Yeah? So in A and B, you do not lead them in any way, but you have these open alternatives, you have an open first question, and you will already have known if anybody for question A already starts to talk about worms, and I will never eat that. That is then a fair way to treat the respondent.
Because
but maybe they forgot about it, and they still might know it. And then when you tell them after A and B happened, and when and where, so information or informative short story, then you can see their opinions about that.
I'd like your advice in our case, specific case, because... in our specific case is that they have their values stated quite clearly that Ferrero Rocher provides high quality products and they ensure this and that and that. And actually in each of the statements that we have taken, we have copied and pasted from their actual
That's
values.
That's a nice way to do that.
So that we actually see is what they put in their website as values matches with the real image of the company. And then maybe after that we can give some information about the scandal or...
Actually what you did for C could also be considered for B already.
Yeah.
Because you have been looking, and that's a good tip for others, at elements of the identity that you can find online and in... When you ask about those in the B set, you have not yet influenced them. But after that, you want to know their opinion about it. And that opportunity you use in C. So as I understand it, you are now starting to think more about how can I use the kind of questions as the Kotler example in the book, with the alternatives, the very open way of putting it, and what can you use there? These identity elements of the organization usually can be used there already. And then you're starting to think, I'm discussing what crisis you are discussing and what kind of more opinion-like questions you would have about it. And for me, that is a big difference if you want to know perceptions or if you want to know opinions. And I think that you find the opinions very important, and I would like to stress that also the perceptions are already very informative in the B section. So feel free to use an information card after the B section, because you have already asked a lot that relates, basically. Are there any other questions about C? And then I would like to know how you would report C. Or is that now a too easy question? But maybe you can ask three rows higher, some intelligent face it.
How would you report?
Yeah.
Well, probably with the worm, like the bee also. Probably with the worm scale, like the bee.
Like the bee in the format of a snake.
Yeah.
Snake diagram.
Snake, yeah, I mean snake, yeah. Not the worm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, well, it can be a worm also.
Ours is worm.
Diagram, thank you. Yeah, good idea. So again, two colors. And it would be interesting to see if the deviation, the differences between the groups, start to become larger for the C section, or that it stays similar as in the B section. Okay. And for D, shall we go to D? So you're okay with it so far, yeah? Let's go to D, and maybe we can get an example of a question of D there. The back, maybe? Total back?
Can I have an example from you guys?
Yeah, we had the Volkswagen thing as well. And now we are going more into detail and asking if the emission scanner changed your opinion about Volkswagen and why.
I didn't capture that.
Did the emission scandal change your opinion about Volkswagen and why?
Ah, so that is not a, so. That could have been a statement in the C's. Doesn't have to be in a question format outside it. So you think, and actually, I must tell you that from psychological research, you can ask it. But you just have to be aware that it's not worth much, the answer. Because introspection into our reasons for our opinions is very unreliable. That's a lot of research from social psychological sources. That when you ask people introspection, why do you think what you think? They very often have difficulty in telling, well, I read that yesterday. Well, yesterday is not so long ago, might be much longer ago, when I read this or that newspaper, and then I was thinking. So very often people get a lot of information in, and they don't sort out what came from where. But they, as a result of their input, they have an opinion. But to ask introspection, how they came to that opinion, you will sometimes hear very clear stories, something that has happened, then it's a critical incident. Okay, in that case it can happen. But to ask if what happened changed their opinion, it's very unreliable what you get. So you can ask it, but it doesn't fit in A, B, C or D at all. It's an extra thing. And so as it's an extra thing, my question would be, apparently you find it very valuable to ask because it doesn't fit in the format. You're doing something like the joker, the extra thing that you can do. And then think, if this is not very reliable to ask, so what they thought before and what they think now, it's all a construction. Because you still remember from the seminar that we had about psychology, that people construct their own stories. And sometimes the real story, how they came to it, is not very likely or is not very nice to have that way. So people construct such matters. So it doesn't really tell the same as when you would have asked it a year ago or a year before it started, and when you would really ask it later. That would be very reliable. But if I ask you how you now compare what you thought about Jyväskylä University with what you thought about it before you came here, that is not very reliable, that answer. It's usually a construction that fits the storyline. Well, you can ask it, but you have to think, is that what I want to use my joker for? My free card, my extra thing. But I would like to have an example what you did for D. Do you have D? Why not? Yeah.
So that was their D, so they have to consider
okay.
A bit more.
It's honest. Good. Another group maybe, a bit lower. It's a clever guy there. Yeah.
We have, how would you improve the public image of Stora Enso?
How? Sorry?
Would you improve the public
how
image
would you
of Stora Enso?
If you were, how could... Maybe rephrase it, but it's anyhow finished, so it's probably correct. But how could Stora Enso improve its reputation? Yeah? Something like that you had. Great. Great question. Better than I had phrased it. Okay. Does that clarify matters? So again, for that question, I ask, how will you report it? So how will you report that open question?
How would you report your question D?
Any ideas? Not thought of yet. Could it be the same as A? Yes, so a ranking of what was said most and what was said least. Always begin, like a newspaper, with the most, what was most said, what was most relevant to matters that were said less often, and ending with some things that were only mentioned once, but just in diverse answers. Miscellaneous is the English word for that. Okay, maybe this doesn't make me feel yet very sure. So maybe I would like to go out of this show and open the report formula. So these are the report slides, just to ensure that it's all clear enough for you. So you can use the template, and you can also hand it in as slides. This is a PDF, doesn't matter if it's the PPT or the PDF, but I would like you to, because don't waste time of layout, just, oh, you can make it nice, I don't, that's fine, but not expected. So the team number that you are, the members, the field of forces of your organization or your topic. In some cases, it's rather a topic. So draw a picture, or you can insert it as a JPEG is also possible. And then your hypothesis. Your focus is on the water scandal in your case there. And we compared the corporate image of these two groups. And then you have to choose, or you say, I actually have two hypotheses because I'm stubborn and I really want to take more out of it. And of course, great. So, and then you have to tell for both who you compare and why you expected that it would be better from this book group than from that group of respondents, yes? Because it seemed likely that, and then you can refer to, maybe would be best if you could refer to the book where it's the book about corporate image, where it gives reasons why people have a certain image. Yeah? But if not, you can find your own words. This is the A. Oh, the it was there a moment ago, of course. The part A, where you can find, and that was about impressions. That open question, what are you thinking of, blah, blah. Yeah? That could be a top five, as suggested here. And then for X, it says how many times in that particular kind of answer was given. So you describe it, and then you tell, and then it goes from big to small. Yeah, but this could also be these nice, what was the word you used for the graphic? You had a name for the graphic. Oh yes, the bar chart. Thank you. Yeah, could also, and you could also add it to this, add the picture of the bar chart from big to small. Yeah, could be nice. And then for the perceptions, so we had the impressions, that was A, and B is perceptions. You had these features, and there you had the snake, two lines that you compare. And if you want to do this extra hypothesis, you just copy the slide another time and it comes back. But of course you tell what the red line is or the blue or dotted or whatever, yeah? And for the statements, you can do the same, but you have to repeat the statement, maybe. So it needs shortening it somehow. But also in how you ask it, it needs shortening. And the preferences could again be a ranking from often said to few times said, and it could again have your bar chart if you have inspiration. What would be really nice is that you actually write some summary of some very remarkable things you heard. So pay close attention to what you hear, because you're asked here to select a few quotes. It could be the most insightful or most exceptional quotes that you find. It's often reported in qualitative interviews with more quotes, of course, but here. Okay, so your hypothesis was either proven or not proven, and scientifically that's both interesting. So it's fine if you find it not proven or if it's proven, but at least this told us that, and then your own wisdom comes. The fact that it wasn't proven, now we're starting to think that maybe, yeah? Or if it was proven, well, that shows that apparently for stakeholders, it's important. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can mention here some gaps or challenges found. So how you now see the problem of that organization, the problem of that topic, the main challenges, problems. And then you can tell something about your recommendations for those main matters. You can also focus on one or two. And there is this joker, the card that is optional, that you can use at any moment because you did something extra, you had a question that you really wanted to find out about, doesn't fit in the template, but you want to add it, yeah? The whole idea of a joker is, of course, being naughty, but here it tells you that you're not naughty, you're free to do that. And if you feel like two jokers, feel free, yeah? I had actually feared that there would be more than 120 people here, but looking into your work is much easier with these numbers, so you can be free. So, and then I ask you to report the division of tasks in the team, so all the members of the team and the interviews they did and what other tasks they did can be here. And there's also a note, thanks to Team X, so who now checks your questionnaire? And maybe you want to do it better. This was just a draft, yeah? So maybe you can make a deal with that other team that they will look again at your final draft. And then you can here tell, thanks to team. So then I could also see if there was a team that didn't help anybody, yeah? They're not mentioned and thanked. Okay, but so also offer your help to another team because that learns you something. And also it says which team thoroughly commented your blog post, because your first ideas will at by 16 October be on this blog post. And there, of course, it's always nice that at least one other team takes care of some more comments. Of course, everybody can maybe write a sentence like, didn't expect that, or that's strange, or yeah, would be nice. But one team at least should look into your work, and then you get some better results, and that you can mention here too. And you can tell whom in turn you have checked. And it could even be more than one team, because sometimes you were doing things with different team settings. And the link to your own blog post you can give, I can of course find it anyhow, but it might be quick for me to have the link. And that reminds me of the fact that on Optima, I do not yet have all the groups an email address. So somebody that I can easily give access to that blogger post, so that by 16, yeah? So this I can close now. Is that clear? But it does make it. I think it was good to go to that for a while. Or should we still look here? I have a new phone, so I wasn't sure that it was properly ringing. So I also checked my old-fashioned watch. It's fine. So for the teams, you can see here that for team one, I don't have anybody. So I can start giving assess, but it's much easier if everybody is already in there. Then I don't need to recheck who I've done already. And yeah. So there's many teams that here do not, many have it, but many don't have a blog coordinator or somebody. And Blogger is a Google platform, so somebody that already has that account would be easier. But if not, okay. Yeah, so this is actually surprisingly many already there, but not yet. Yeah, of course, these individuals are there. But for example, this team 17 is having it already. Yeah. Oh, it's not so many. So you added recently, but team 11, team 10. So I still need people for that. Can I close this also? No problem. Okay, let's go a bit faster then. So, crises. Crises are unexpected, non-routine events. The previous reputation matter is providing a kind of basis, but on top of that you will see hectics caused over time by different crises that may occur. And some companies have them very often, and others somehow are a bit out of the wind. They produce uncertainty. They threaten high-priority goals. And the crises have a life cycle before, during, and after it. And that also depends for the issues that are discussed. So think about, is this crisis still alive? Like the Volkswagen crisis has had perhaps its peak, but it's still ongoing. So think about the phase of your crisis. Various issues can come up during each phase, also depending on the kind of crisis. So there are sub-issues that may be addressed, and you will try to capture all of these sub-issues in your statements. So the different aspects that could come up and that in total form this crisis situation, they should all be reflected. So where do they come from? They are risks. So I talk about crisis types, but actually they are risks. So, and a risk is defined as a threat that may occur, and that then, if it occurs, it leads to a crisis. Or you could even say a risk is a potential crisis. But there are also risks that are a threat, and they will never become, in that sense, probably a crisis. For example, health risks, like overweight, doesn't really need to come to a crisis situation. But a risk like pollution might, for a company, lead to a crisis if that pollution continues to be a problem, of course. So my question to you is, what kind of crisis types related to your case organization are likely to occur? So are there other crisis types it would need to prepare it for than the one you're studying? And Sarah, could I ask you to also
take some.
So talk with your neighbor so that you have a good answer. Buzzing. But we will be quicker now. Yes. She's not taking any because she has had two English presentations and is still a bit shaking and can't really. Yeah. So they have to remind us of the crisis and then tell what other kind of crises occur for that organization. So your case, what type of crisis is that? Well, it's an issue or it's a disaster. Usually it's an issue. Yeah. Let's go fairly quickly. Okay. Jenny, go ahead.
Okay, there was a question about if I have an idea what sort of a software you could use for reporting the answers for the questions or the interviews you are asking. Well, I'm not quite sure, but I assume that you could try out Webprobol. Maybe somebody in the audience is more familiar with that program and you could do that. You can do questionnaires and things like that with that software, and you can see if it's suitable for this case as well. I'm not quite sure, but you can try it out.
It is also possible to use no software whatsoever, nothing at all. Just add it up, because these numbers, really we're not talking about hundreds. These numbers are so low that it is no problem to just add it up by hand. So.
Yeah, that's also
possible. But you can use Excel.
But if you want to check out some software, you can do so. But let's go to the actual question what kind of a crisis type relates to your case organization. Who would like to go first? Yay.
Okay, so our crisis is Apple's situation a couple of years ago when in their supply chain happened a lot of deaths due to suicide attempts because the working conditions were so bad. I think it was a factory in China. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. And we're thinking that it's quite a difficult situation because it's in one way internal crisis because it's something that Apple should be taking care of, but not directly. They should be taking care of having someone to take care of that. So it's external because it's Alihankkija. It's a supplier, so they basically are in charge of everything within the factory, but at the same time, it's Apple who is the main buyer.
This is the crisis also, because I was thinking of an example also, but you already gave it. So the only thing I need to do is show the picture, because you told the story already. Thank you. Excellent. Yeah.
is it like, would it be more internal or external? Because we kind of like were in between. Like,
well,
what,
nowadays
you
prepare for crisis within the supply chain very much, and the supply chain. So then it's more of how do you define that? And formally we define that as external, but actually it's partners. So we call it partners in the supply chain. And so it's an in-between, yes, but it also relates to public perception about what is happening in. And actually the public doesn't accept anymore that you can just tell, oh, it's not us, but it was our supplier, because the public also sees the company as responsible for what's happening in its own supply chain, which is why I think in any sector, the supply chain communication suddenly got an extra element there, and that is the prevention of crisis and to ensure that things, ethical problems are taken care of all through the whole supply chain. Excellent. Of course, Apple can also have other crises than this type of crisis. So this, you could say, was a corporate responsibility crisis, but actually in the supply chain, yeah. Thanks for the example. Saves me time. Can only the picture is enough now. But the question is, of course, Apple could have different crisis types too. But maybe there is an example of a different crisis type.
Maybe on this side of the room, examples of a crisis types. Go ahead. Who wants to go? Maybe your organizations that you're thinking of, they are thinking about the crisis. So could you give us an example of what kind of a crisis are they have experienced, or any ideas?
I already said it before, but Stora Enso has used child labor in Pakistan. And that's a kind of crisis that they explain that this situation is it's not up to them if there is a child labor or not, that this is more a deep question about the society and so on, and that if they would not give this job to the children, then they would do something even worse. But I think it's like, in a way, internal causes, because it's their internal decision still to use this labor force, but then also it has a kind of external.
But it's clearly a policy-related issue.
Yeah.
You call it internal, that's fine. It's a policy-related issue.
Yeah.
And the same in the case of the Volkswagen case. But we had a nicely different one for Ferrero Rocher that didn't have to do with the policy, because that is a crisis that relates to, how would you describe it?
Maybe product failure. Somewhere in the production chain,
excellent.
Something has failed.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, so it has to do with the production process and a problem that occurred during the production process. Yeah. Okay, so that shows that even though you might be focused on one crisis type, another group might have a totally different crisis type. And at the same time, you should continue thinking that if you would work for one of these companies, you would have to be prepared for a very broad range of possible crises. Yeah? So in the case of Apple, you will no doubt start to wonder how much effect did this have on the sales of the products of Apple? And maybe you are starting to think, the fact that Steve Jobs stopped could have had a bigger effect on the reputation of Apple and also on the the intention to buy among consumers than this particular issue. So it depends from issue to issue how much the effect will be and how relevant it will be for example, shareholders, or that it might have more effect on the consumers. In the case of Ferrero Rocher, you can imagine that it's opposite. If it's known, the more effect it will have on the consumers, and maybe not immediately on the shareholders. So it depends on the type of crisis, if which stakeholder group is affected more and how public perception is affected. Okay, let's take a break and let's hope you return with true vigor and and we continue then with the class. Thank you.